Please turn with me your scriptures to the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. And I have the English Standard Version today. I have my iPad. I have 10 or 12 translations. It's just the one I chose to go with. Luke chapter 2, beginning the first verse. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch with their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." That text from Luke is obviously a thoroughly familiar passage and one that we will read repeatedly at this time of the year. And so I thought I would talk to you about some material in this passage. I thought, well, I have a number of things I could say to you about this passage. I could, for example, point out to you that there's a number of translation issues here that are worth addressing. For example, we have the phrase heavenly host, and in our Greek class we just learned that the Greek word there really means army, heavenly army. We could notice that they laid him in an inn, and actually they didn't. There was no room in the inn. Actually, that's not quite accurate. Jews didn't keep inns. That was a forbidden profession to a Jew. It was a rented room in someone's house, not a, you know, Holiday Inn Express or something. But after thinking about, like I said, I want to talk to you about the and the Greek article. I thought that would be a helpful presentation when we go to Christmas. The and the Greek article. You see, Greek does not have a indefinite, definite article structure, an the structure like English does, or German does, or as a matter of fact, modern Greek does. Ancient Greek did not. It did, however, have a pronoun which functioned both as a pronoun and as an assistant to nouns, much like the English articles, but with a different flavor. And so anytime you are reading your English New Testaments and you bump into us and thes, or no article at all, you have to ask yourself the question, well, have the translators rendered the text in a good way, or they created some inadequacy, some imperfection because of how they've used the and the. Because us and thes are never really translations of a Greek word. They are interpretations added by the English translator in order to accommodate the meaning of the Greek text to the requirements of English grammar. Well, and that brings me to our text. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, which is the ESV. Now, the ESV translation is what it is because that's roughly what the King James translation is. And it's very, very difficult for a modern translation to go too far from the traditional language that people expect of a very well-known verse like this verse. But in point of fact, if we look at this text, we will discover several interesting things. The word Savior is anarthrous. The word Christos is anarthrous. And the word kurios is an arthrous. And you're saying, what are you saying to me? I have never heard that word before. And that's a techie grammar term for saying that the Greek pronoun article is not used with either or any of those three words. In other words, the word Savior, the word Christ, and the word Lord have no article with them. That's what the grammatical term anarthros means. And so, if a word in Greek has the article, it may be definite. It is occasionally indefinite. It is sometimes even generic. And if a word in Greek does not have the article, it is sometimes definite, sometimes indefinite, or sometimes generic. In other words, you can't know from the grammar of the Greek whether to put an a in the sentence or a the in the sentence or no article at all in English translation. Because those English grammatical features don't exist in Greek. We have an apples-oranges problem here. And so we can ask not the grammatical question, but the thematic question, what is the idea being expressed? In our first expression, there is born to you today Savior. How many saviors were the Jews expecting? Well, not many, actually only one. And so the text would actually be better rendered in terms of its thought if we added the English definite article. For there has been born to you today the Savior. Not a Savior. A Savior, although it's traditional, allows the thought that there might be more than one. But in context, the statement of the angel doesn't allow that possibility. Not because of grammar, but because of connection of ideas. There is born to you today the Savior. The Savior. And then, secondly, we have here who is, and we have Christ, Christos in the Greek. Again, without the article in front of it. And what's happened in English is the word Christ has ceased to function as a common noun and has become a personal name. So we don't put articles with personal, we don't say the Jack or the Bob. Right? But in Greek, Paul, Paulos, is often ha Paulos, the Paul. But this is not a last name, it is a title, and it needs the article. For there is born to you today in the city of David the Savior, who is the Christ, the anointed king, the Christ. And then the same can be said of the word Lord, kurios, that it also needs the article to properly get the sense of the text. There is born to you today the Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. Do you feel the difference in that text? The Savior, the Christ, the Lord. Three titles that force you to go back to your Old Testament, to the prophets, and ask, where did the prophets promise the Savior? Where did they promise the Christ? Where did they promise the coming Lord? And when you do that, the text becomes far richer in its meaning. Far richer in its meaning. Jesus is the Savior. But in the Old Testament prophets, the only Savior is Yahweh. This is the equivalent in Luke of Matthew's inclusion of the citation of Isaiah 7, verse 14, about Emmanuel. Who is the Savior promised to Israel? It's Yahweh who saves his people. Here he is. And he is the Christ, the anointed king, the greater son of David, who has come to establish the kingdom. And he is
the Lord. And that too has an ambiguous ring to it, because it could simply be a title of respect and honor. But the Hebrew divine name is regularly rendered into Greek with the Greek word for Lord. The one born to you today is the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. To put this into our particular ecclesiastical context, Christmas is the beginning of the announcement of the mediatorial kingship of Christ. Here is the Savior who is born, the Lord, the anointed King. And then finally, there is in this connection, translated the way I've rendered it to give it a little more oomph, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. This important theological truth to keep in mind as we go through the Christmas season. And that is that Jesus is Savior because he is anointed King and because he is Lord of all. It is not the case that his mediatorial kingship is something in addition to his office as Savior, but is inextricably bound up with his office of Savior. He saves us because he is the anointed King, the Lord. Because who needs a Savior who is ineffectual and incompetent? What good is that? But our Savior is anointed King and Lord, that he is able to do what we need to have done, namely to save us. So, the level of translation, I would suggest that we can improve on all the standard translations by simply recognizing that for an ancient Jew, Savior, Christ, and Lord don't allow the possibilities of one of many. And an anywhere is it. Doesn't reflect the sense of the thing. It's not a Savior, it's the Savior. And Christ is not a last name, it is a title, and therefore it needs the definite article in English, the Christ. So you focus on the content of Christ and not on the sound of it as a last name. And the translations do have the Lord. Here is the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. And that is the first preaching of the gospel. My final little bit of Greek for you. You see, the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not fear, for I bring you good tidings." The verb used here is the verb to preach the gospel. The same verb used elsewhere in Old and New Testaments for the preaching of the gospel. The first preacher of the gospel was an angel, a messenger sent from heaven. And that gospel is that there is the Savior, who is the Christ, who is the Lord. And there is your hermeneutic for understanding the Old Testament, that all of the salvation passages and all of the Christ, Son of David passages and all of the Lord coming to his people passages are all brought together in one person, in this child born of Mary, because there was no place in a rented room to give birth, and so they used a stable. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you that you sent your Son into our flesh in such an ordinary way to be a man among us men, and yet to be for us Savior, anointed King, Lord. Gracious Father, grant us that we may bow our knees before him and put our hope and trust only in him as our only and all-sufficient Savior. And may, as we think about his birth, rejoice in your good gift to us in this season. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in Psalm 98b.